tonight. And let the heavens be open over this place. Rasko tohandias ketedelebe. Zie. Come on, just praise Him, just praise Him. Praise opens the heavens. Praise brings down the mountains. Praise brings down the walls. Amen and amen. Say with me, kata lambano. Say it again, say kata lambano. It means to aggressively, passionately, desperately grab a hold. Take by force, seize by force something that God has for you. Which means that if there's a promise that He has promised you and it hasn't happened for 10 years, it is time that you and I catalampano that promise, catalampano that when the presence and the glory of God comes into this place, that we must seize it. Say with me, say seize. Say it again, say seize by force. Some people are like, oh, Lord, I receive. No, 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 no. God wants everything on the inside of us to jump out and say, I'm going to grab a hold of this truth right now. Whatever's being preached, whatever's being given, whatever's in the atmosphere, I'm going to seize it with everything in my spirit. I'm going to grab a hold of it and make it. I'm going to possess it to become mine. This is the year of takeover. The word takeover in Hebrew means to suddenly, with a surprise, come upon your enemy. When your enemy doesn't expect it, you suddenly come with a surprise upon your enemy. I see a surprise attack upon your enemy by the people of God. Where the enemy thought he was going to take you out, that when you get behind you, that you will give a surprise attack to your enemy. Come on. This year is the year of take over. Say it again. Say take over. I hope you receive it and I hope you believe it. I hope you catalambano it. I hope you grab a hold of it and you snatch it out of the atmosphere. Listen, it's tangible. Words create. What words I speak from here creates. That is it. If I say January, I'll have a new car. January, I'll have a new car. If I say, I told the church, I said, December, start your businesses. Money will come in January. Nobody started their business. I started my, I started my business and I gave it to you. So I started my business and money's already coming in. You better start a business. Create an avenue for God to bless you. He will give you the power to create wealth. May we be Christians who can take over. I am sick and tired of this begging mentality, and we're coming to church. We keep the pastor humble. We keep him poor to keep him humble. No, 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 no. We don't understand God. The Bible says wherever His glory is, where the latter glory shall be greater than the former glory. That directly after it says He is the God that owns the silver and the gold, the cattle on 1,000 hills. That when the glory of God gets manifest, as it'll come into this place tonight, where the glory comes in, gold must follow. It's a scriptural principle. When you encounter the glory of God, gold and prosperity must follow your life. I don't care if you sit 2 or 3 years under this anointing, but when you come out, you will be so full of the favor of God. You're not going to look for a job. Somebody's going to walk past you and say, I don't know why, but I have to give you this promotion. I have to give you this job. I have to give you this car. I don't know why. That's the favor of God. Favor, listen, one day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. One day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. All you need is one day of favor and your life has changed. One day of favor and your life is turned around. Let that day of favor be this year. Let that day of favor come upon you and stumble upon you this year. Like Ruth, the Bible says that Ruth stumbled into the fields of Boaz. She stumbled into a promised land. May you stumble into your promise this year. May it come like an accident. May an accidental miracle happen to you tonight. Where is it in the Bible? I taught you. Jesus was saying to 600 soldiers, I am He. And so much power was released that 600 soldiers dropped to the ground, and a young boy was accidentally raised from the dead and ran naked through the garden. It's called an accidental miracle. It was never meant to be. He was just in the right place at the right time, in the right location. So you better be in the vicinity where a miracle can come upon you. It can be an accidental miracle. It can be for the person next to you. But if you cut a lambano it, you grab a hold of it, you seize it, you take it by force. I hope you are ready to take this year and say, I'm going to take 2017 by force. Zadroshka takale. Listen, have your seats, have your seats. You want an open heaven over your family. What happens with an open heaven? It doesn't matter where you're at. An open heaven always has with it a ladder of angels going up and down. Which means that when you have an open heaven upon your life, you have angels ministering to you, standing around you. How many times, especially the last few months, have I seen angels around us? Like me and my team would drive and we see an angel flying through the car protecting us. We'd be in a service, I see an angel coming into a service. We'd be in another service in America, angels start singing with. I'm in my house, an angel walks down my hallway and stands by my daughter's bed. And I'm not saying this to be flaky. Stay longer and you will see. The Apostle Paul says, he says, listen, cover your head. And he was not speaking of everyone, he was just talking some things there. But he says, for the angel's sake. Why does he say that? He says, listen here, when we get together and we worship God, not only we are worshiping God, do this in this manner for the sake of the angels. Knowing and understanding that angels are worshiping with us. Do you know angels was such a reality in the New Testament that when Peter came out of prison and he went to the house church where they were praying for him, that when he arrived at the door and knocked on the door, and the maid servant opened the door. She ran, she closed the door. She said, listen here, Peter's here. And the people said, no, you must be joking. Peter's in prison. You must have seen Peter's angel. Now that means your angel looks like you. Come on, are you guys with me? That means he looks like you. That's why somebody will say, I have seen you there. And you know you were at home. And they swear you spoke to them about the gospel or you got somebody saved there. Say with me, open heavens. Raise your hands to the Lord. Say, open heavens. Say, Father, may there be an open heaven upon my life. May your heavens open upon my life. Father, let every person in this place experience open heavens in their families right now. By the authority of the Holy Ghost, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I take authority over every negativity, over every spirit of limitation in the household, in the family hold. I take authority over every spirit that has slithered itself into every family, and I bind every curse, every spirit. I pray that the heavens will be opened, that heavens will be opened upon your people's lives in this place tonight. Holy Ghost, fill this place. Make every single one of us receptive to receive you, sensitive to receive you, sensitive to release you, sensitive to sense you. Let your glory saturate and fill this house in Jesus' name. Give him one praise offering. Amen. Say katalambano. You just learned a very big Greek word there. Say katalambano. It means to violently, aggressively, desperately catch, grab a hold of the anointing. Listen, the anointing cannot be taught. It can only be caught. Are you guys with me? Say, I can only catch it. It cannot be taught. I need you guys to be a little bit more alive. I need you guys to be a little bit more alive. The anointing comes to the hungry. It comes to those who are like, they're sitting on the edge of their chairs and they are desperately waiting to receive impartation. That is whom God touches. Not somebody who's sitting back relaxing. Like I said, lambano just means to like, I want to receive. But when you add kata to it in the Greek, kata lambano, it means to violently grab, to aggressively take a hold by force. The light overcame the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend the light. When light is being shed off the pulpit, do not be like darkness that cannot comprehend it, that cannot kata lambano it. Be a people that say, I'm going to grab a hold of this light. I'm going to kata lambano it. I'm going to comprehend it. I'm going to grab a hold of every revelation. Listen to me, as I'm speaking off this pulpit, I am speaking prophetically into your situation, into your house, into your family, wherever you're at. If you receive it, I don't care if I don't prophesy over you personally. Listen, I choose one or two people out as a representation, but you can receive it for your house. May it be tangible in this atmosphere. Listen, the anointing is a supernatural ability that causes us to go beyond our natural abilities. It is a tangible, transferable substance from heaven. That is why when we lay hands on people, many a times, those who are sensitive and can receive it, they can feel. I pray tonight, even if you're not sensitive, that the anointing will strike you. That the power of God will come upon you. That you will know that when you walk out of this place, something supernatural took place in this building. I serve a God that is supernatural. I serve a God that is not natural. He is not blind that he cannot see. He is not deaf that he cannot hear. He is not natural. God is not a man that he should lie, which means that God is supernatural. If he is supernatural, I am supernatural too. Say with me, supernatural. Say tangible. It means you can feel it. It means I can take it, I can throw it to you. It means it's tangible. May the anointing be tangible in this place. Say, I catch it tonight. Say, I catch it. Say, I catch a lambano. I don't know what it is with our westernized Christian churches where we are just so relaxed. And we are just so, you know, I was preaching and I think we were in Namibia. And the people stormed the stage so hungry. Some of them dived into the stage, screamed, and the fire of God would fall. I had to do nothing. I was just standing there and fire fell from heaven, burning people. I would just lift the people. Fire would burn them. Demons would scream out. People try to commit suicide in the service. We'll just bring them to the front. The demons scream. I don't even say one word. Why? Because of a hunger in a people. As I left the building, even an hour afterwards, the fire kept falling. Unless we come to a place where we say, God, you are my only option. Until I have an encounter with you. Until I see you face to face. This night, I am not going to leave this place. I am not going to leave this church until I have a face-to-face encounter with you. It is one encounter that changes our lives. It is one encounter of feeling him. The conference, say power, say power. Yeah, I'm teaching you now how to receive so that you don't get hurt. So that you don't get hurt. There will be power. I'm just trying to think how I'm going to get this through. Go for it to Mark chapter number 15. Mark chapter number 5, verse 15. Mark chapter number 5, verse 15. In New Year's Eve, there was a tremendous presence of God. I couldn't even get to the third wave. But I pray that tonight we may not limit God. We won't go on till 10, don't worry. But if we don't limit God, I want His glory to come in and touch people. I don't care if you're in the back, or in the front, or in the middle. Say to me, say, I want His glory to touch my life. When the touch of God is on you, man cannot ignore you. When the touch of God is on you, man can come against you, but there's results that speaks, brother. When you walk out of the place, what my desire tonight is when you walk out of here, is that your eyes are full of light. That you feel like the weight is off your shoulders. And you've just had an encounter with God. No man sees God and is not changed. And so it happens when we surrender to Him. I must violently grab it, but I must come to a place of surrendering my hurts. Surrendering the hardness of my heart. Bitterness, offense, unforgiveness. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 15, it says, then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Next verse. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him, who had he been demon-possessed, and about the swine. Next verse. This was a story, if you could read before that, where Jesus came to, I believe it was the madman of Gadarene. And Jesus came and stepped onto the shore. The Bible says that they came running out of the caves. One of the Gospels writers say it was one man, the other one say it's two. But in truth, there were two. And they were running towards Jesus and began to scream out. And they said these words, we adjure you, Son of God. We adjure you by God to do this and this and this. We adjure you by God to leave us alone. That's what they said. We read over that as if nothing is happening, and we just like, as demons are talking. Do you know what that means? Those demons were saying, we command you in the name of God, do not torment us. That Jesus was so anointed that when he put his feet on the sores and those madmen came running out of the caves, that even the demons began to call on the name of God, trying to silence the anointing upon Jesus's life. And then Jesus had the audacity to say that we shall do greater works than what he did when he was. I don't know if you are. And listen here, that means that you can be so saturated with the anointing that even the demons will cry out to God for help. You can be so anointed that even the demons want to become Christians. They can't, but they're crying out, we command you in the name of God to do not torment us. What's happened, devil? Are you all of a sudden believing in God? But Jesus carried so much of the power on him. Are you guys with me? Say environment. It's your environment that places the anointing upon your life. Listen. Then they began to plead with him, depart from his region. Next verse. I go into verse 22. Verse 22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Next verse. And begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay, everybody say with me, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Now just stop there. Yes, just stop there. Lay your hands on her that she may be healed. This man was begging Jesus to physically move to his house and come and lay hands. He did not have a revelation of the power of God. There's 90% of people here want me to lay hands on them. You do not have a revelation of the power of God. Are you guys with me? That is secondary. But there was a woman who interrupted his situation. She had much more faith than what Jairus had. Listen, that you may just lay your hands on her and she will live. Next verse. So Jesus went with him and had a great multitude followed him and thronged, touching against him. People were pressing against him. Next verse. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, say with me, heard. This woman just heard about him. She didn't see him. She didn't have to see a sign and a wonder to be convinced. She just heard. She came, say with me, behind him. I think in my Bible it says, she pressed in behind him, which in the Greek is a picture of a slipstream, which means that if you've ever driven a bike and you're getting behind a truck that drives fast, it's like you're getting in a slipstream of the truck and it pulls you faster. Are you guys with me? Okay. It's called the slipstream of the anointing. There's a slipstream of the anointing that we can get into. That once you get into the slipstream of the anointing, you just go without even, it just pulls you further. May that anointing be tangible in this place. She came behind him in the crowd. Say with me, and touched. Say it again, say touched. She touched his garments. The word touched means hapto. It means to set alight. It means to grab with such passion, to burn with fire, that when she touched him, it was a touch of fire. It was a touch of passion. It was a touch that if she was not going to get healed that day, she will die. That when she touched him, it ignited so much passion that the Bible says it ignited with a flame. It's a hapto touch. Say with me, a hapto touch. Everybody pressed in him. But when she hapto touched him, he recognized that power left him. Are you guys with me? Next verse. For she said, the Amplified says this, for she continually said within herself. She continually said over and over and over, if I may only touch, say with me, touch. If I may only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Jairus wanted Jesus to come and lay hands on his daughter in the house. And this woman was sitting by saying, if I may only touch the hem of his garment. Sitting there, she's not even allowed to be in society. You will only encounter God if you break rules. She was sitting there and she said, if I can only touch. Jesus came deliberately to break the law. Are you guys with me? Yes, I know he fulfilled it. She said, if I may only touch just the edge of his garment, I know that the anointing will flow out and touch me. Say with me, contagious. How is it that the Bible says that a prostitute can sleep with a Christian and the Christian will become a prostitute? Go read it. I think it's 1 Corinthians 6 or 2 Corinthians 6. If a prostitute sleeps with a Christian, the Christian becomes a prostitute. They become one in flesh. Are you guys with me? But how is it that if the prostitute sleeps with a Christian, why doesn't the prostitute become a Christian? I think it is too much for the people here. I'm not saying go sleep with prostitutes. Please, don't be stupid. That is just, you don't belong here. This is a place of intelligence. You can go. Okay? I'm not saying this. I'm bringing a principle through. That there's something being called contagious. If you have an Ebola virus, everything Ebola touches, it comes into contact with, it's contagious. And it infects that other individual. But we who carry the seed, the DNA of heaven, of God Himself on the inside of us, don't even have a revelation that when we touch somebody, when we grab them by the hand or we shake their hands, that we have the ability to give God to them by the laying on of hands. That you and I can be contagious with the Holy Ghost. We can be contagious and addicted with the anointing on the inside of us, that when you just walk past somebody, when you just touch somebody, that the anointing comes on them. Come on, are you guys with me? You're not getting it. I see people like daydreaming. Are you with me? You're with me? You with me? Okay. Huh? Say contagious. Say contagious anointing. I prophesy that you will become contagious. That when you get out there in the world, listen here, this is a place in ECC to be filled with the anointing. When we enter into this fast, I want to tell you, starting this Sunday coming, the devil is in big trouble in this place. The devil is in trouble. The devil is in trouble. I can prophesy to you, the devil is in trouble. I don't care when he touches your business, when he touches your ministry, when he touches your marriage, when he touches your relationships or your family. When you are entering into this fast, it will be days of power of your life that you will experience, that you will enter into. Listen. May the contagious anointing fill this place too. Just raise your hands to the Lord.